Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. So you think you messed up? God has a plan and a purpose for you, a memoir by Helen Rylance, draws back the curtain on Helen's life and shows how God's grace is always sufficient for each of us. It also reveals some of the ways the Lord's love will not let go until he has completed what he began in us, no matter what is stacked against us. Pastor Ian Humphreys had this to say, having known Helen for a number of years. On first contact with her, she appears to be well-integrated, a confident woman, and she is. However, as this honest book reveals, the path she has taken has been strewn with many dangers, toils, and snares. Helen is a living example of someone who has been refined in the furnace of tribulation, somebody who can sympathize with others facing similar things. After more than 50 years of following the Lord, Helen believes that the Lord has always strengthened her, upheld her, and empowered her by his Holy Spirit, while forgiving her for the times she got it wrong. Helen Rylance, author of So You Think You've Messed Up, God Has a Plan and a Purpose for You, awarded a recommended book designation from Workbook Press Literary Competition 2020, and Helen, our guest from the United Kingdom, on This Week in America. Helen, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Oh, thank you. Glad to be with you.
Book is getting excellent reviews for your honesty. Let's talk about that. What was the inspiration to write this book? Because to be effective, you really had to tell your story in a very honest way. What was the inspiration to write this book?
As a child, I was actually sick, quite sickly, and until I was about 10, and at that point, I was paralyzed for 3 months. So when you're laid in bed and you can't do anything, reading, you know, becomes your only option, really. And so it was at that point that I really sort of started reading, enjoyed reading. And when I became a Christian, I became an avid reader of Christian materials. And books like Derek Prince's books, they'd often sort of lead me to a subject that God was actually training me up on at the time. So it's through reading, really, that I came into, you know, to be inspired, if you will, to write, though I still didn't have any thoughts of doing it. But when I was 36, God spoke to me through his Holy Spirit and told me that I would write when I was older. So my question to God was, well, what am I going to write? I've got nothing to write about.
Yes.
And he said, well, by then you will have something to write about.
Interesting.
And so that's where my writing career began. It actually started really when I became a lecturer in the college. And there I had to design my own work materials and workbooks. And so that's how I sort of, if you will, got by writing assignments, you know, got into into writing. And these assignments were later published as a manual for tutors. And then later on in my career, I started developing what they call quality system manuals for businesses. And so that's really where my, you know, where my career started as a writer.
The guest on the program tonight, our guest is Helen Rylance. That's R-Y-L-A-N-C-E, coming to us from the United Kingdom. She is the author of the book, So You Think You've Messed Up, God Has a Plan and a Purpose for You. Book is available at Amazon.com, published by Workbook Press. Their website is workbookpress.com. Book available basically wherever books are sold worldwide. I mentioned your honesty in the book. We can sympathize, we can empathize with you because so many of us go through ups and downs, maybe not quite like yours, but ups and downs in our lives. You had so many memorable events that happened in your life. Can you think of maybe one at the top of the list that really, really shaped who you are and the message you're getting across in So You Think You've Messed Up?
Well, I suppose really it has to start with the fact that I always believed that I was a Christian. And I would argue with anybody that I was a Christian. I lived in a Christian country, and therefore I must be a Christian. But actually, God showed me that I wasn't. I'd recently moved to a new church, and they were starting a ladies' Bible study. And I went along to the meeting with my new unused Bible that I'd had for years, tucked under my arm but never read. And at the end, as I was leaving, the lady whose home the meeting had been held in challenged me about my faith. And really, it shocked me to the core, really. For two nights after that, I couldn't sleep. And I completely without peace. But then on the Thursday morning, after I'd taken my boys to play school, I was just washing the breakfast pots, and I was in such turmoil. And I called out to Jesus, and I said, you know, if you're real, just come into my life and, you know, take over. And I got this immediate peace. It just descended on me. And that was when I was born again of the Spirit of God. And that, you know, has been obviously a major change in life. Actually, two things happened immediately then. My habit of smoking 20 cigarettes a day disappeared. And my ability to use bad language also disappeared. I was reading my Bible, and within weeks I was actually helping with the ladies' Bible study as well.
That's fascinating. It improved your life on so many levels. And you've mentioned several times how God has guided you in life. That would be, I would think, an example there. Talk about some of the times when you feel that God has led you, because there have been times when you weren't sure what to do, like when you thought, maybe I should write, maybe I shouldn't, what will I write about, and you're inspired at that point. How has God guided you in your life?
How has he guided me? Oh, so many different ways. It's hard, really, isn't it? Sometimes you're not even sure that God's actually guiding you.
Yes.
All you're doing is going along, putting one foot in front of the other. But actually, he does, you know, he is guiding us. One of the times that I felt very clearly that God did guide me was that I was 28 when I came to know Jesus as my Saviour. And when I was 33, by that time I was 8 months pregnant with my daughter. And I decided to attend a conference. And I didn't really know what the conference was about. And it was a Christian conference. And it was at that conference that God called me to be an intercessor. Now, I didn't know what an intercessor was, but I just said yes, and that's, I suppose, part of my relationship, you know, with the Lord.
Yes.
But it was also the start of my life falling apart as well, because I was called to stand in the gap for other people, and that's what intercessors do. They stand in the gap. But first of all, you have to experience what that person is going through before you can get the victory in that particular situation. And that's what being an intercessor really is, standing in the gap. And I'm still operating in that function today. But it has meant that my life has taken all sorts of weird and wonderful turnings that, you know, people have looked and sort of said, oh, she's got it wrong again. But in actual fact, in the fullness of time, it proved that I hadn't got it wrong. I just was standing in the gap for this particular person who got this particular problem. So I inherited the problem, if you will, had to get the victory through fighting through it, and then Jesus coming in and completely taking over that person's life. So that's one of the ways that...
Yes, a fascinating story. It's all in Helen's book, So You Think You've Messed Up, God Has a Plan and a Purpose for You by Helen Rylands. The fullness of time, you said that, and it's so interesting. Is that where some of us get into trouble, because we're living in the present and we're not giving it time to fully develop as possibly God has designed for us?
Well, that's right. I mean, we do have to listen. We do have to listen to the Holy Spirit. We have to build a relationship with God through his Holy Spirit and learn to listen to his voice. Because if you have a relationship with your partner, you listen to their voice so that you can communicate and you can move together. And you have to do that with God. You have to listen to his voice, and you have to take on board what he's saying. And then you can, you know, work together.
Yes.
To bring it about. Can I give you another sort of little example?
Yes, please do. Please do.
I spent some time in Northern Ireland, and as many people will know, and the, you know, there were a lot of troubles in Northern Ireland a good number of years ago. And I was in Northern Ireland praying during those troubles. I also lived in Jerusalem for 2 years and visited Israel for over 20 years. And during my years there, I used to love gardening. I've always loved gardening. And the Lord showed me that he wanted me to connect with English-speaking Jews. And so eventually I was sort of like looking through the local newspaper to see how I could sort of like connect with these people. When I saw this advert that said that the English-speaking Jews were meeting at the Botanical Garden in Jerusalem to put the garden straight, if you will, to do the gardening.
Yes.
And so I went along there and you know, for a good number of years, helped with the gardening there. But the other thing is that, you know, when you go to places like Northern Ireland where people were being shot, you know, you go to Israel, and at that time I was going out to Israel at first, you know, bombs were being blown up on buses and things like that. You have to be able to listen to the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, you might find yourself being in a place where you weren't intended to be, and that could be deadly, you know. So.
Well, that's one of so many lessons in Helen's book, So You Think You've Messed Up, God Has a Plan and a Purpose for You. Helen Rylance, R-Y-L-A-N-C-E, book available at Amazon, published by Workbook Press. Their website is workbookpress.com. A link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You can link on, go directly to get information on Helen's book. What is the goal of writing this? What do you hope that people take away after reading your memoir?
Well, I think, you know, for me, it's important that people develop a similar relationship with God. I'm not suggesting that they might he'd lead them into the things that he's led me them into, but if we don't have a relationship with him, we really don't know what his plan, his purpose for us is. And if we don't come into that, we're not going to experience his love. And in not being able to experience that love, we're not going to appreciate what he does for us, what he provides for us, so we don't get into thanking him, praising him for, you know, for his goodness towards us.
I mentioned that the book is receiving excellent reviews. What kind of feedback are you getting from your readers, especially those that may have contacted you because you really have changed their lives? What kind of feedback are you getting?
It's interesting, actually, that if men get in touch and you know, that have read it, they frequently end up crying, and which is quite something for men to actually, you know, admit to doing that. But as the Holy Spirit has been touching their lives, they've been changed and they've been healed, and that's, you know, helped them tremendously, obviously. But about 3 years ago, I was actually having a coffee with a friend at a local church, and she was with a companion, and I didn't know the girl. But she'd been listening to what my friend and I were talking about, and suddenly she turned to me and she said, "Are you Helen Rylance?" So, you know, said yes. So then she told me this amazing story. She'd recently come out of prison, and at some point someone had given her what we call a word of knowledge, and basically what this person had said to her was that she would need to find a book that has a key on the front cover, and that book would change her life. So she set out looking for the book, and because she had very little money, she actually went to second-hand shops, second-hand bookshops. And there it was. That's where she found the book, So You Think You've Messed Up. And she read the book, and it's changed her life. Currently, she's actually doing a degree at college.
Amazing.
So when I started to... You're right, you know, the Lord told me that all my books had to have this golden key on the front cover, which is, that's exactly what they do have on.
That's just an amazing story, and it has to be, makes you feel so good that you've written this book, you've touched people. What a rewarding experience that you've taken your message and encouraged others and literally changed a life around, probably, it sounds like in the case with Ruth. How long did it take for you to write this book? The book is So You Think You've Messed Up, God Has a Plan and a Purpose for You. Helen Rylance, our guest on the program, the author. How long did it take to write this?
It actually didn't take me very long, considering I wrote it in longhand, because at that point I couldn't actually use a computer or a typewriter. So originally it was all written in longhand. But because it comes out of my filing cabinet within,
yes.
In other words, it's like I've got this internal filing cabinet that I can pull out information of things that have happened, you know, in the past. So it didn't actually take, probably only took about 6 or 9 months to actually write it. But what did take a long time was the many errors that I made. The amendments are like horrendous, and that's very time consuming. In fact, the first book that I wrote, which was the educational book for students, I sent it to the publishers, and eventually I got a letter back telling me there was something like 1,000 amendments to be made.
Wow.
Well, I just felt so embarrassed, I nearly gave up, to be honest. Later, I read actually that a well-known author, and I won't give you his name, he has many thousands of errors to amend. So when I read that, I didn't feel quite so bad. But that's the time-consuming, constantly going over it and over it. And even then, when it's finally published, I still find that there are errors that really need amended.
It's interesting. So initially writing the book wasn't that big a problem. It was going back and getting it so it was publishable, which is a fascinating story.
Yep.
Were there other setbacks, any discouragements you had as you were finishing it? Obviously, that would be that you've got to go back and over it and over it. But were there other setbacks that maybe had you guess yourself on writing the book?
Well, you know, we have to remember that we have an enemy of our souls, and that enemy is Satan.
Yes.
And the truth of it is that one of the indications that he doesn't want a book to get in, to be written and to get into people's hands, is the fact that he undermines what you're doing, and he hinders you in so many different ways that it just makes things harder, and you feel like giving up. But, you know, we have to learn that we've got to resist the work of the enemy and overcome, all these little ways of trying to stop us from getting to where we should be or doing whatever we should be doing.
And that happened several times in your life, and you'll read it in Helen's memoir, so you think you've messed up. God has a plan and a purpose for you. Who were some of the people that maybe influenced you, encouraged you in writing this book?
I had some friends at the time that I was getting round to sort of publishing it. I came across some friends who lived nearby, and Violet and Robin Dean, they were really good friends to me. Robin now, he's gone to be with the Lord, but I still see Violet, his wife, and they really encouraged me to write the book and to get it out onto the market and help me financially to publish it in the first place as well. And of course God, through his Holy Spirit urged me to write. Otherwise I wouldn't have written it. I don't consider myself to be a writer. But it was only through the urging of my friends and the Holy Spirit that I actually did it.
We've got several minutes left in the program. Is there a message you'd like to share with the readers, with the listeners to this program that hopefully would inspire them, get them maybe to read the book, share your story, and inspire them? Any message you would like to leave the listeners with?
Well, firstly, I would say if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you really do need to turn to him. Give him your life. Let him come into your life and let the Holy Spirit show you where you're going wrong. We all do things wrong, and we've all made mistakes, and we fall short of the best that God's got for us. But if we just allow him to come in and to help us, we're not on our own. He's given us this helper, the Holy Spirit, to help us and guide us. So that's the first thing that I would say. Read your Bible every day, because you need to learn about the person who you've put your faith in. Because Jesus said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And learn to recognize his voice. Be obedient to that voice. Even though sometimes, you might think it sounds a bit strange. Do it anyway. And then, desire to live to please your Heavenly Father. And remember that, our time on earth is only short in comparison. We might live, to be 80, 90, or 100 even. But actually, we'll live in eternity for thousands of years. So our time here on earth is very short. So we need to make the most of the time and make the most of building that relationship with our Heavenly Father so that when we do go to heaven, we'll be there with him and enjoying his company. for the rest of the rest of our days. Really.
Yes, and you show us how to do that in the all the four elements of that answer in message he'd like to leave for the listeners and the readers for the book. Are elements taken successfully from her life? For someone who doesn't think she is a writer or was going to be a writer, you've had remarkable success writing. What are you working on now? Are there projects that you're working on that you can talk about?
I have been considering doing a follow-up to So You Think You've Messed Up, because that actually only takes us into about, I think, 30 years of my Christian life. And so I've had another 20-odd years since then. And I've had more adventures. More difficult times, more fun times. But, you know, if the Lord wants me to write it, I'll write it. But if he doesn't, I won't. And that's how it works for me. It's all about what does he want.
Hopefully,
you know, he's my Heavenly Father. He knows what we need,
yes.
What he wants us to do.
Well, you've done so well with this. Hopefully you'll have that message, and we'll be back to talk about the follow-up. And I love the title of this, So You Think You've Messed Up, and we all go through that. And then it's God Has a Plan and a Purpose for You. Evident in Helen's life, it's Helen Rylance. The last name is spelled R-Y-L-A-N-C-E. The book, So You Think You've Messed Up, God Has a Plan and a Purpose for You, published by Workbook Press. Their website is workbookpress.com. Book available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all of the usual places worldwide, and, of course, links on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Helen has come to us from the United Kingdom on today's program. Helen, thank you so much for joining us. A pleasure having you on the program, sharing your story, and hopefully we can do this again. Thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you for inviting me, Rick. It's been good. I've enjoyed it.
Thank you. Helen Rylance, our guest on the program, the book So You Think You've Messed Up, God Has a Plan and a Purpose for You. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.